was involved with the horses and the heavy horses, sort of when I was sort of young enough to walk and get and out of the pram, really. I can always remember at the farm, always helping in the yard as soon as ever I was able to be out there, because we were working on the farm. We were working 6 horses at this end and 4 on the other side of the river, so there was quite a lot going on, and I was involved with working them. When I left school, we were still in 52, we were still doing a lot of work on the farm with the horses. All the intro cultivations, the potatoes, strawberries were done, the harrowing of the spring harrowing of peas, beans, that was all done with horses. Spring drillings were done with horses. The only thing that stopped being done when I got home from school was that we had stopped ploughing the horses. They used to go just tidy the outside up and do one round around the outside, but that's the only thing I can remember them ploughing. So I sort of saw the change from the tractor to the horses to the tractor. So it was quite an interesting period, really. Grandfather and father used to breed their own replacements. I think all the years that I was involved, and grandfather and father were involved, I think we only ever bought in one mare. And that was father bought that mare because we didn't look like having a foal. And at that time, I got quite interested in the show side. Mm-hmm. So he bought a mare in foal. And the mare we won Wembley with, Royal Surprise, she came from that line. So that was quite very pleasing, really. I had 300 acres. And we had 11 men and 6 women on a part-time basis that used to help with the potatoes and the strawberry field. So in my grandfather's time, they hadn't got as big an acreage. They had about 200 acres he had. But he would have somewhere in the region of 8 to 10 men. Working on a full-time basis.
Yeah. And did he used to do it too? Did he?
Yes, he worked. Yeah. Oh, he was one that didn't believe in standing back, and he would be involved. I know a father has told me that one of the things that my grandfather used to love doing, he would stand on the side of the potato riddler, and was no engines on them, just a handle. And he would stay there all day long and would turn this handle on this potato crater, riddler, and he would just carry on all day long. And, you know, and the men would do the take filling in the front with my hand out of the potato grave, as we used to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the men would bag them off at the back into horse and cart, and then either onto the hard roads or the station or wherever they used to take them. I can just remember us having a pair of horses going up to Wisby Station. They would be taking different stuff, different commodities, up to the station and up to the docks. Okay. Had a head horseman. The head horseman always used to come in at 5 o'clock and feed. We had two... The north level main drain split the land that they had. Grandfather farmed over the other side of the river, and then he came to Decoy Farm here in 1907. And so they'd got two split farms. It wasn't as easy quite then as it was today, because it's a mile and a half round. So they used to have 4 horses in the stable over the other side of the river, and 6 horses in the stables here. So they had an old boy who lived in a caravan. He used to feed the horses, If they were working, want to work over that side, and the men would then go around, the horse would be ready to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the same applied here on the home farm. He would, the head horseman would have them all ready for the men to yoke up and go and do whatever jobs they've got to do. Spring of the year, it would be row crop work, drilling, harrowing. And one of the things during the winter, of course, that I haven't mentioned is that they broke their own stock, bred their own stock, and 2-year-olds would be broken in during the winter months with an older horse, and they would then not do any hard work, but they would go in with another older horse to do harrowing of peas and beans, etc. And then they'd be ready as a 3-year-old to go into shaft work and go on from there.
Did your father do the breaking in, or did there was a group?
The father and the head horseman were the ones that used to do the breaking. And you used to find that within the your staff, there were, like in any job, there are people who are adapt to doing different jobs better than others. And one of our two head horsemen was Harold Reeve, but he's died some years ago now. But Dick Smith was the one as a boy, started on the farm, loved the horses, carried on with the horses, and he was the one that would always help with the breaking in the spring of the year,
mm-hmm.
and carried on until he got his own horse and did a bit of breeding and showing with his own.
Did different people have different ways of breaking horses, or was there generally a
different areas, I would say, even rather than people, different areas had different methods that they used to like. But basically, it was very similar, really. You would break them with an older one, whatever you wanted to do, you'd break them. What we always found too was that anything that had been shown as foals and yearlings and shearers, if they'd been taken to shows, they were so easy to break because they'd been handled a considerable amount, because they didn't all go to the show, and you could find the difference was colossal.
Mm.
Those that had never been touched until they were 2-year-old, it took far more breaking than those that had been shown the foals and yearlings and other 2-year-olds. Yeah. Yeah, father took over the farm from grandfather retired. Father took over the farm and continued in the same way, really. And gradually, mechanisation and tractors came on to in and. And father was very much into progress, so we certainly got on with the horses. Gradually drifted out from actually working on the farm, but he was always keen on the show side, and there was quite a lot of shows within this region, in the county, really.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an old railway carriage, which was built for transporting horses on the railways. Father bought one of those and mounted it on an old lorry chassis, and we used to pull that round all the shows with a tractor. And the furthest we went to was Blodden, 80 odd miles, with a tractor in this. All day, virtually all day, and 2 days at the show, so it was a 4-day job.
Yeah.
One thing that always used to amuse we younger ones that went to the show was, I mean, it was darn hard work. The other men that were left on the farm always used to pull their legs and say, "Here come the holiday makers," because it was no holiday at all. It was darn hard work. Getting the animals settled down and getting them ready for showing them, and taking them from there. So Yeah, there was quite an interesting period that was really, and then of course the lorry transport and that came in, so it superseded the tractor and the Land Rover and a trailer and things like that, which enabled us to carry on doing the show side, and the actual work on the land got less. But we still kept, as I said earlier, six mares we were breeding from. And so until about 19, end of the 80s, actually, when we sort of cut back numbers.
Okay, well, that's fine. Could you tell me a little bit about the role of the horseman in that? Did you How important did you think he was
The
on
head
a
horseman
particular
was
farm?
it was sort of one of the most sought after jobs in the agricultural life, if you like. That was the position they all wanted to be, head horseman. And some of them were very brilliant people too. They didn't probably realise it, but they were very, very good, clever people. Had the animals fit, got the feeding right for individual horses. And kept the feet right, the legs right, so that they were fit to go to work every day. One or two young people came, and then they didn't carry on up the ladder, but they came on and got up to sort of under head horseman and then moved on elsewhere. But you found in the main the head horseman, certainly in this area, the head horseman on the farm, he stayed on that farm almost to retirement, so to speak, until the time of mechanisation came in, and then a lot of labour drifted off the land and went into the factories in Wisbech, and so that was a very difficult time for a lot of the craftsmen, because having been a tool man with stacking the corn, thatching the stacks, and that was all very clever to do, and handling a scythe, getting all the dykes all mown out during the winter, not an easy job that wasn't, unless you knew what you were doing. So yes, it was hard work, very hard work. But there was we saw a big change in our lifetime.
Because that would affect the whole, it's not just the what you're doing on the farm, it's the people you're employing, it's the whole farming community would
Yes,
change.
I mean, I think I'm right in saying that at one stage, when I first came home from school, father knew if I didn't, everybody in Gorfield. Now there's no way that you'd know above, well, I wouldn't say a quarter, we wouldn't know a quarter. The people have all come out into the village, and they all work out of the village. They don't stay in the village. Whereas when I'm talking about when we were doing a lot of labour, 11 men and 6 women on the farm, there's all those families were all involved. Not just on this farm, on the other farms in the village, surrounding the village as well. So it was a very much a tight-knit community, really.
A bit late. I'm trying to do it sort of
Yes,
chronologically.
quite.
Perfect. With the horsemen, did they? Was there ever anything that is like
Tremendous. I don't know whether I haven't seen ever anybody put a manual together of that era.
Because
Which is a
I
great
think
shame, really,
for
but
horse racing.
they were so intent on looking after their own job as well, and they kept so much knowledge themselves. That's what I mentioned about the gentleman's who father and head groom died, and he decided he was going to do the same as they did, and he kept continually losing horses because he hadn't got the measurement of the right things that father and the head horseman had been given him. So he was that was the biggest problem he had.
Did the people pass it down within the families? Or
yes, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, yes.
They're knowledgeable, wasn't
it? Yeah, there could be, could easily be some firing manuals because
mm-hmm.
they were sort of very regimentated about what they had to do to get the qualification.
Yeah.
You had your all the farriers in each individual village, of course. And that was that industry was passed down to father and son as well in many cases.
Mm.
So they and then of course the Farriers Council set up the scheme of the apprenticeship scheme, which then they had to go through and pass the apprenticeship
mm-hmm.
with a farrier. So that was something that was done there. Whereas the working side was a slightly different agriculture. I think possibly in other industries, they had to go through a learning and a passing of exams.
Mm.
You know, there was not too many exams that were actually passed in agriculture. It was either you did it and got it right, or you
yeah.
soon were out doing something else.
Yeah. Did your father have those, or your grandfather have those, or do you know of any other horsemen that had those?
Some people did have them. We didn't as such. We were soon put right as to what each horse, individual horse, had got to have.
Mm.
And that was done by sort of direction rather than an instruction,
yeah.
rather than actually the written word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even today, you get horses that eat differently and to get to show
yeah.
condition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more stuff on the market today than
yeah.
than there was then. So much of what they had was all grown on the farm, and chopped oat straw and rolled oats.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we would say if you're not careful, you'll have trouble if you do give too many oats. You'll be having trouble, but mainly there because the horses were working
mm-hmm.
and they needed like yourself,
bulk.
They
bulk.
Needed the bulk
energy.
And they needed the energy food
mm-hmm.
to be able to do the work. Today they're out there in the field all the time
mm-hmm.
and just come in to get prepared for the shows and
yeah.
Exhibition and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a very, very different scenario really.
Yeah. And